You're listening to The Morning Show. I'm Lee Rayburn in for Kate Archer Kent, and there are a lot of lingering questions about the future of the Milwaukee Brewers. They're currently in first place in their division, but can they be formidable playoff contenders? And what's the future of their longtime manager, Craig Counsell, a hometown hero who's led the team since 2015 and is now in the last year of his contract? And why are we hearing rumblings about the Brewers picking up stakes and leaving the city they've called home since 1970? Perhaps you have some questions of your own, or maybe even some answers. Join us, 1-800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas at WPR.org. Our guest, J.R. Radcliffe, is a sports reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And J.R., welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Hey, thank you for having me back. Happy to be here.
3.5 games ahead of the Chicago Cubs in the National League Central Division. That's where our Milwaukee Brewers currently stand. And where does their current standing, with about a month left to go in the regular season, compare to where we were with the preseason expectations, JR?
I would say this is just about right. This lead that they have, it doesn't sound like a big one, but it's matched for the biggest lead that any National League Central team has had this year. Nobody has really taken the reins and run with it. Now the Cubs have been really, really good lately, the last few weeks. The Cincinnati Reds are still right there. They're percentage points behind the Cubs, but also technically 3.5 back after yesterday. So it's going to be a situation that comes down to the last couple weeks of the season. The Brewers have a huge series at Wrigley Field coming up next week. That's gonna be big, and also play the Cubs the last three games of the season at American Family Field. So that could have colossal impact depending on where we are in the standings. So they came into the year with kind of questions on offense, pretty solid pitching. I would say that's been borne out almost exactly. And the way they've played lately has been pretty encouraging for Brewers fans. So this is about where I guess we thought they would be.
Before winning 5 in a row following a 10th inning walk-off game-melting win yesterday at American Family Field, the Brewers dropped 3 in a row to the Los Angeles Dodgers. Dodgers in first place in the West. You've got the Atlanta Braves in the first place in the East. How do the Brewers compare to the other first-place teams in the National League, JR?
Well, that's a pretty big question, because if the Brewers want to get to a World Series, there's a pretty good chance, there's a really strong chance they'll have to face one of those two teams, and a pretty good chance they'll have to face both of them. And those two teams have kind of kicked Milwaukee around a little bit this year. I think it's 2-10 they are overall. They got swept in Atlanta, they got swept at the LA Dodgers, and you know, there were flashes of they kind of got unlucky in Los Angeles a little bit. Corbin Burns had an outstanding pitching performance that was wasted because the offense couldn't score any runs. Offensively, they just didn't do anything in that series, and that is alarming, because the Dodgers are kind of the gold standard along with the Braves, but that's a team that the Brewers have kind of been chasing here as they've been in this phase where they're one of the better teams in the National League. And the Brewers weren't able to mount enough offense. That's kind of been their story this year. Offensively, it's come in fits and starts. You know, the crazy thing is they went right from LA to Texas against another first place team, and then swept Texas and pounded the ball around the ballpark. They had big leads going into the ninth inning of every one of those games. But against LA, they weren't able to do anything. I think they only had, I want to say, 10 hits over three games, which is really, ooh, really not enough. So they're going to have to figure something out. What you can say is that they haven't really thrown a lot of their top pitchers against the Dodgers or the Braves, not many times this year in a short series, in a short playoff series. It would stack up a little differently. The randomness of the playoffs tells you that you can't really use the regular season as your guide on how things will go. So there's not a ton of predictive value, but it does bear notice that the Brewers have not been good against those teams this season.
And JR, what did the Brewers do around the trade deadline to improve their roster? And how do you assess their improvements compared to what it's going to take to get past the Braves and Dodgers? Were they to make it to the playoffs?
So they made a bunch of moves around the deadline. They added three guys to the big league roster. One is first baseman Carlos Santana, who's a veteran. He's been around a long time. He's hit some pretty big home runs since he's gotten here. Overall, numbers not great offensively. I think he's just okay. Sound defensively, which is something the Brewers really love. Their defense is really one of the strengths of the team. So he's the guy who's kind of the everyday first baseman. In the outfield, you've got Mark Canna. He comes from the New York Mets. He's been okay. He's had a couple key hits as well. Again, not like, he doesn't change dramatically change the landscape of things for the Brewers, but he's fine. And they added a relief pitcher named Andrew Chafin from the Arizona Diamondbacks. Andrew Chafin has struggled a little bit so far. So they've really had this run where guys they trade for that are relief pitchers at the deadline, really since 2019, they haven't, those guys have been pretty bad. Just sort of, it's just this little miniature curse they're dealing with right now. So there's I guess some hope, plenty of time, and it's a very small sample, plenty of time for Andrew Chafin to turn it around. They also traded away Luis Urias, who was their everyday third baseman, to Boston for a nice minor league pitcher, but they've really struggled finding a third baseman this year, a consistent one. First base, I guess, as well, has been sort of a spot offensively that they haven't gotten full production out of. So they made some upgrades, and it's just going to take the guys to beat Atlanta and LA. It's going to take the guys they've got. There are no more roster moves to be made. There's not really guys in the minors that you could expect making a difference at this point. The guys they have just have to start hitting the ball a lot better, and everything else is kind of in place at this point. So guys like Willy Adames, who's been rounding into form the last few games here, they have to hit the ball, and if they do, they have a shot.
Jarrett Radcliffe, our guest, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel sports reporter, and you can join the conversation on the Milwaukee Brewers at 800-642-1234 or email ideas at WPR.org. I saw in the Atlantic yesterday that there was talk that the Milwaukee Brewers could acquire Pete Alonso from the New York Mets. Pete Alonso, a first baseman, which you mentioned is a need for the Brewers. They ended up getting Mark Canha from the Mets instead, which you also alluded to. But he's third in the major league in home runs. Why would they, and considering that they didn't end up getting Pete Alonso because they would have had to, I would assume, give up too much for him. And that's certainly an interesting contrast compared to the rookies that the Milwaukee Brewers have. One of them, Bryce Terang, walked it off yesterday in the win against the Minnesota Twins.
Yeah, that report from Ken Rosenthal in The Athletic, yeah. He said that it was, he said that the two sides that he spoke to disputed as to how close that deal was. His source on the Brewers side said it was pretty close. The Mets side, maybe not so much. So I'm not, no one's really clear on how those talks progressed. Getting Pete Alonso would have been a huge, huge addition. It would have been one of the biggest swings, probably the biggest swing they've taken at the trade deadline since 2008 when they acquired CC Sabathia. You know, you don't get that level of offense, let alone from a guy who's 28 years old, who's would still be under contract next season. You don't get that at the trade deadline. And yeah, it would have cost a top prospect, you know, not necessarily the Brewers' number one prospect, a guy by the name of Jackson Churio, who's one of the biggest prospects in baseball, but it would have cost a really nice player. I don't think the Brewers would have been the one to balk at that deal, though. I think that's probably the Mets deciding they weren't quite prepared to part with a talent like Pete Alonso. But that would have been exactly the guy they – I mean, that would have been a huge upgrade. That would have made this team a serious contender for, you know, for the World Series. These upgrades around the edges, the team could still be that. They, you know, they didn't – you know, there's still a team that can actually win the World Series. A lot has to fall into place, but it's possible. Getting Alonso would have been a game changer, though. That would have been a really, really big deal. Yeah. I personally wonder how close that deal really was, but if you know, it's the Brewers have often been discussed. They've all often told us that they were really close to getting a big level talent at the deadline. We just, you know, you haven't seen it in a couple recent years, but you know, maybe this one was really close.
J.R. Radcliffe, our guest sports reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, taking a look at the Milwaukee Brewers, taking a look at their short-term and long-term future when we continue with your questions and comments at 1-800-642-1234. I'm Lee Rayburn. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. This is The Morning Show. I'm Lee Rayburn, and we're looking at the immediate and long-term future of the Milwaukee Brewers with our guest, J.R. Radcliffe, sports reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And you can join us at 1-800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas at WPR.org. J.R., what about the changes to Major League Baseball this year with pitchers on a pitch clock this year, bigger bases, and a limited number of pickoff attempts for runners on bases? How have the Brewers reacted to the rule changes?
I think everybody is pretty much used to them by now. It didn't take long. There wasn't really a very long acclimation process, but it definitely seems to have improved things, made the game a lot more fan-friendly. You'll see attendance is up across baseball. The Brewers have seen an uptick in attendance as well. Some of that can just be explained by slowly but surely everybody sort of returning to their normal schedule post-pandemic, but it's definitely livened things up a little bit. There was just a lot of dead time in the game of baseball, and we gotten to a point where, if you went to a game, you probably had to imagine it was going to be 3.5 hours at least. Now you can almost safely assume you're going to be out of there in 3 hours. There are games that go over that, of course, but it moves very, very quickly. It's a very fan-friendly experience. It's made base running more of a cat and mouse game because pitchers are limited to the number of times they can sort of disengage, is the word, step off the mound, and during an at bat, they're limited to two of those instances before a runner gets to move up a base if a pitcher does that again. So there is a little bit of strategy element to it, but everybody's kind of acclimated to that. It's really just a much more quick, the game just moves more quickly.
And some of the changes, the elimination of the defensive shift, where you were not allowed to overload a certain side of the field with defensive players. And the stat I heard yesterday during the Brewers game, after 127 games, the Brewers have only had 3 sacrifices all season. That's a huge change now that you have a designated hitter in the National League.
Yeah, so I think that it was kind of expected that the shift wouldn't really dramatically change things. The idea was to create more base hits, make it a little more difficult for defenses to just kind of shut down pull hitters anytime they put the ball on the ground. And I would say that's probably happened to some degree, but I think you're finding pretty nominal changes as far as offense goes because of the shift defensively. I mean, yeah, there's a few base hits that get through that wouldn't have gotten through in years past, but I think for the most part we're seeing things pretty similar to the way they are before. Teams have adjusted to this pretty quickly, and quite honestly, when you have defenses like the Brewers, where you've got a second baseman in Bryce Durang and a shortstop like Willy Adames who could cover so much ground, it doesn't really matter. They're just good enough to get to the ball pretty much wherever they are. They move as far as they can, and then they still get to the baseball. So that's an advantage that the Brewers have. They have such a really good middle infield defense. So as far as sacrifices go, those have been in deep decline for a long time. The Brewers are not a team that puts the ball that bunts. They don't like to throw away at bats that way. That's sort of a kind of gone the way of the dinosaur in Major League Baseball. It maybe still works on a lower level, but in the big leagues, those can be fielded well enough where you're essentially surrendering it out. Teams just don't like to do that.
I don't remember in my lifetime as many changes as Major League Baseball has gone through in the last few years. You expect those changes to stay the same, and do you see more changes ahead in the future for the game?
I think the commissioner, Rob Manfred, is really open-minded about stuff, and he gets a lot of pushback for that. A lot of, baseball's a game of tradition and statistics, and you're gonna have a lot of people who are purists, so to speak, that don't like the idea of tinkering with the rules at all. These are pretty dramatic changes to how we understand baseball. We haven't had pitch clocks, obviously, in baseball growing up, playing it in sandlots and things like that. But I think he's just willing to mess around with it if it makes sense. And if it makes sense, that means does it help make the product as good as it possibly can be? And so I do think he'll continue to tinker. I don't think we'll see anything quite to this level, what we saw this past season with so many changes implemented at the same time. But the big one on the horizon is whether or not they can implement an automated strike ball system, essentially robo umps for shorthand, find a way to get some more consistent umpiring behind the plate. The minor leagues have experimented with things like a challenge system where you can kind of quickly say, you called that a strike, but I think it was a ball, and the quick look at it and are able to implement that new whatever the call is very quickly. I don't know if baseball's headed that direction. They've certainly been working on it. They're still tinkering it with it though. They haven't found, sort of like automated cars, they haven't found a system that really seems to suit what people are looking for. So, but that is something that's definitely in the conversation going forward.
J.R. Radcliffe, our guest from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Whitefish Bay High School graduate. Craig Counsell's managed the Milwaukee Brewers since 2015, but he's in his last year of his contract. Do you expect the Brewers to keep Craig Counsell past this season, J.R.?
I actually don't. And it wouldn't be it wouldn't be the Brewers' decision. It would be Craig Counsell's decision, and they've made that very clear that he's welcome to come back basically if he wants. His success is kind of unquestionable, I think. I mean, he's the longest tenured manager in the National League Central. They've had a ton of success under him. Obviously, a hometown guy, like you said. I think the Brewers would have him back in a heartbeat. The question is, does he want to come back? He's got kids now in college playing college sports. You know, he's been doing this a while. I could certainly envision a scenario where he takes some time off or goes to a front office job, which is what he was doing before he became manager. So I don't know if people are really aware that that's kind of coming, but it really feels to me everything we've heard and seen that this is probably it for him by his own accord. He may decide otherwise, you know, but I do think he's got all the chips here, and I think it'll just be what he decides to do at the end of the year.
What about the future of the franchise in Milwaukee? Brewers officials are saying they may begin contemplating moving to another city if state and local authorities fail to reach some funding agreement for American Family Field. I mean, what would the Brewers moving mean for the city?
This is such a nuanced discussion. I don't think I have time looking at the clock here to sort of dive deep enough into it. What I would say is that there are always going to be whispers because financing stadiums is a tricky business. It's expensive. It doesn't, you know, you don't just build a stadium and then don't have to keep financing it. There's all this upkeep. Certainly, we're seeing that with American Family Field. And then you have the owners have found a way to get governments involved so that they don't have to foot the entire bill themselves, so that, you know, so that some of that stuff can get paid for. In Wisconsin, it seems like both sides of the aisle are interested in making that happen. It's just a matter of the details and who's going to pay for what and which governments are going to pay for what. There is a contract between the state of Wisconsin and the Brewers relating to American Family Field. So there's a lot going on. What I would say is big picture, I wouldn't be worried about it happening. The climate, the way Major League Baseball is, the league is going to be much more motivated to see this league expand than they are seeing a team relocate. It's a better financial move for them, and that's going to put a Brewers situation on the back burner. They're not interested in moving a team, especially with the fan turnout they get in Milwaukee. They're not interested in moving that team if they can help it. So, could they move someday? Yes, they absolutely could. The owner could decide, you know what, I'm picking up stakes. I want to go to Nashville. I don't think that's likely. It's certainly not going to happen in the next couple of years, and I really don't think that's where we're headed. I think the situation is just too good in Milwaukee right now.
JR, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Absolutely. Anytime.
JR Radcliffe, sports reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. I'm Lee Rayburn in for Kate Archer Kent this morning, and you're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.